topic or the prayer topic, I get convicted. It's one of those things. I think that none of us ever get to the spot where we have arrived and we can't learn something more. And I think it's interesting that Jesus teaches about this. And we're going to look at some different things in Luke chapter 11, also in Matthew chapter number 6. Sunday school and Sunday morning will stay in these two passages, may even stay into that tonight, depending on how far we get this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Look what it says in chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So my hope today, my challenge today, my thought for this week is that we would specifically ask the Lord to breathe the prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is something that as I read and as I'm studying, one of my interests and desires personally was to look at some of the great stories in the Bible that dealt with prayer. The story of Hannah, story of Elijah calling fire down from heaven. Hezekiah has a few different stories when it talks about prayer. Daniel in the lion's den, there's a lot of different instances of prayer. But the Lord spoke to my heart about, once again, going over this again, teach us to pray. And I think that's something that's a good prayer to have. It's a good prayer to have this week, a good prayer to have on our heart today. The Gospel of Luke records the Lord's prayer life more than any gospel writer does. And I was thought about going through all of them, but I won't, for sake of time, I want to get through a lot of things this morning and maybe a little bit more teaching than preaching. But I tell you, it is something that's important and something that's good. The highest goal in prayer, and I've always said this, is not trying to get our will done up in heaven. Is trying to get God's will done in our own lives, God's will done on this earth. Another thought behind that is that prayer shouldn't be about getting something from God. It should be about spending time with God. It's not about what we can get from God, it's about who it is that we get in a relationship with God and a desire for relationship. And I think many times prayer is something that's so backwards. I read things and I see things. If you look in verse number 9, it says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I don't know about you, but my prayer life doesn't always work that way. And it's because my heart's not always lined up with God. Sometimes I have a list that I go over, and sometimes I have different things, and there are things that I fail at. And like Dr. John R. Rice said many years ago, all our failures are prayer failures. And here, these disciples have been watching Jesus pray, and they ask something specifically. Lord, teach us to pray. To my knowledge, it's the only recorded thing in the Bible that disciples ask Jesus to teach them. It's the only recorded thing that I see in the Bible that disciples asked Jesus to teach him. Of course, Jesus taught him many things. I don't know about you. If it was me, I might have been asking, Lord, how do I heal that person? Or Lord, how do I raise the dead? Or Lord, how do I take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed all those people? Lord, help me to learn how to teach like you teach. Help me to make a difference in people's lives. But the only recorded thing that's asked is, Lord, teach us to pray. And the greatest prayer I think we can teach today is not just how to pray, it's about just learning to talk with the Lord. And so today I'm hoping with the Lord's help that we'll understand that out of our lives, our prayer lives grows, out of our lives grows our prayer lives. If we pray like we're supposed to, we're going to be able to do the things we're supposed to. He said, what's the connection there? The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more you understand about God, God reveals ourselves to us. The more we learn from God, the more we understand from God, he reveals our faults, our failures. He shows the things that he's disappointed in. He reminds us, when I read scripture, many times it is as a prayer journal. It's a prayer book. As I'm reading through this, God speaks to my heart for my shortcomings, and I learn and I grow. It teaches me what I should be and what I need to be. And so when I think about this prayer, let's ask this prayer together. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's enter into the Lord's School of Prayer. I think it was Andrew Murray who wrote a book about the Lord's School of Prayer. I've never read that, but I've heard good things about it. And we're dealing with this matter about really learning how to pray. No matter how much I've heard, no matter how much I've preached, taught, journaled, discussed, I still feel like I'm in the lower levels, elementary school, maybe kindergarten when it comes to this thought of prayer. Because I read the connection that some people have. I see the prayers. I see the prayer promises. I see the connections that are there. And I know that I can do more. And I know that I can do better. And I know that I want the Lord to teach us to pray. You say, Pastor, that seems kind of foolish. We've heard about this passage of scripture before. Why teach it again? Well, Matthew chapter 6, let's go ahead and go to Matthew 6, and then we'll read both and we'll show you the similarities there. But one thing that's different about Matthew 6 and Luke chapter number 11, number one, there's a variation. There's a variation. Some people have taken this model prayer and they repeat it over and over. They do it consistently. They do it in a sense that is almost vain in the repetitiveness. And we'll actually begin in verse number five, when in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Little side note here. Sometimes we pick on the Muslims because the repetition of the same prayer. Sometimes even with the Catholics because they do the same prayer over and over. But my challenge to you is our conversations with God should not be just repetitiveness. It should not be the same things over and over. It should be a freshness. There should be a talk to. And I tell you, sometimes we get into a rut. And I have a prayer list. I enjoy prayer lists. But sometimes it's become mechanical. And he's not desirous of that. He says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as heathen do, for they think that it should be heard for their much saying, for their much speaking." And the reality is our prayers life should be fresh. They should be new. You say, "Pastor, sometimes we're praying for the same things." I understand that. There are things on my prayer list that I ask for every single day. But it does not have to be written out in a mechanical way. It should be in a conversation. You say, "Pastor, when you pray to open up in prayer, many times you use some of the same terminology." I do, because of the fact that I'm interested in the same things for the most part for every service. But at the same time, when I'm praying publicly, yes, I understand I pray to lead people in prayer, but my desire is not to care about what anybody in this room thinks about my prayer. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God only. And as I talk to God, yes, I understand that I'm leading in prayer and there are certain things we pray for and pray about and pray with, but it should be something that is, it should be a freshness to it. It should not be something that's mechanical. We're entering into the presence of God. It is a conversation. You know, same thing. If you're having a conversation with somebody, you don't usually say the exact same things. And if you do, you sometimes get tired of talking to them. Hey, how you doing? Good. How about you? That's the only conversation you have. How's your relationship going to grow? How are you going to learn anything about them or grow until you're willing to sit down and have a basic conversation? And now I know sometimes human-minded, we're some of us are backwards, some of us aren't good at conversations and all those other things. But with God, we should learn to be fresh in our prayers, not to have vain repetition, not to be praying to be heard of men. We're praying to get a hold of God, or more importantly, let God get a hold of us. But let's keep on going. And then it says, "Be not ye therefore," in verse number 8, "like unto them, for your Father knoweth," and I love this verse, "for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Then we begin what we call the model prayer. It's similar to found what's in Luke chapter 11. It's what we're going to spend most of the time on this morning in the morning service. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13 are very common known ones. They are repeated. You say, Pastor, we shouldn't memorize it. Of course you should memorize it. It's the word of God. We should put it in our hearts. But it's not. That is a model. That is something that's teaching us how to pray, but it should begin to grow and continue on. So I want you to notice verse number 5. It says, and when. Verse number 7. But when, and we're going to come back to that in a little while. Let's go back to Luke chapter number 11. It's not as popular as Matthew chapter number 6. It's not as well known as Matthew chapter number 6. But here's some things I want you to see. There's a variation. It's not going to sound the exact same. Look what it says in verse number 2. When ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very similar, but they're different. What's the significance of that? Number one, I think it's the variation. God never intended for us to just sit there and repeat the same thing day after day. If you're with someone who repeats the same thing over and over mechanically, it seems like it's not fresh. And you want to be careful. Once again, I understand about praying for the same desires, same things, you know, for praying for over our food. You know, what are we doing? Asking the Lord to bless our time, thankful for the food. You know, I know sometimes people pray for a long time during that time and people get tired of it because their food's cold. At the same time, if they're really truly not trying to oppress anybody that's around them and just trying to speak to the Lord, then who cares if the food's cold a little bit? So what do we learn? So it's the variation. Number two, I want you to consider for just a moment the different time periods. Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus is there, and we've learned about Matthew chapter number 5 when we went through the Beatitude. There's multitudes there. He calls his disciples in. His disciples come, and there's a large group that comes, and they learn to him, blessed are ye, blessed are they, all those different things. Luke chapter number 11, who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, but it's a small group. It's just a very small group. But there's a different time period. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 was one of the first public speakings he ever did at the beginning of his ministry. Luke chapter number 11 is probably a good farther into his ministry. Over half his ministry is over. So we get a little bit farther along, and he is teaching them, and they come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does he do? He teaches them the same thing. You would think in a couple years that they would be a lot farther along, that they'd be ready for something else, they'd be ready for something more. But he teaches us the importance of repetition. He teaches us the importance of learning and understanding the Word of God. Sometimes, and before, when as a preacher, I always felt like, hey, I need to get something brand new. I need to dig something out. And once again, learning and growing and living in the overflow of your study and your prayer life is great. But It talked about in Philippians, Paul talked about writing unto them about the same thing. It talked about how that was safe unto them. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. There is a repetition that needs it. He goes back and teaches them the basics again. I can imagine Peter sitting there. Oh, I've heard this before. James and John, Thomas, Matthew. Yeah, these are all things that we've heard before. So when it comes to the Word of God, we should never be ashamed of learning from the Word of God, because it's not the idea of just repetitiveness. There's a freshness. There's a look at it. Back in Matthew chapter 6, this was the beginning. Now at Luke chapter number 11, their relationship has grown. Hopefully as believers, they've gotten stronger. It means a little bit more to them. There's a little bit more understanding there. So it's not when you hear some people, when you pick up the Bible and say Matthew 6 or Luke chapter 11, they'll be like, well, what new thing can I learn from this? No, it's taking a fresh perspective. Hopefully you've learned more from then and you can apply more. It's taking the time to grow in our walk, the importance of repetition. The truth does not change, but how we apply it to our life. And so he goes back and he teaches them the basics. So you say, Pastor, I don't know why we had to learn about prayer again. I think you're foolish to think that, because like I said, in my own life, when I ever hear about prayer and also about soul winning, there's conviction there, because I know I could always do more and do better. So we see the variations there, we see the repetition, but I think the importance is there. And I think the time period is kind of neat. One time was earlier in the ministry, now it's getting towards the end of the ministry, and they're teaching them the same things. Why is that? Many times we need to learn that. So I think, I know from my own life, as I was studying, a fresh perspective on prayer was an encouragement, and it helped me in my prayer life this week. And that's my goal, is that we would be saying this prayer, Lord, teach me to pray. It doesn't say, Lord, teach me to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray. And that's my desire for all of us, but for me personally, it's Lord, teach us to pray. So let's get back to Luke chapter 11. Let's look in verse number 1. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's focus on that first word, Lord. There's three words here, Lord, teach us. This is the request. So that word, Lord, he is a worthy instructor. He is a prayer person. He had a place. Now, where was his place? It says that, and it came to pass in verse number 1, that as he was praying in a certain place, he had a certain place. Where was that place? We don't really know. The Garden of Gethsemane would be a good guess, because it talked about how he went. The Bible talked about how he went there many times. And the Bible says he went there often. Judas knew that's where he was going to be that night, and that he was going to betray him. He had a definite place. And you see, he also has a definite time. It says when he ceased, there was a time where he stopped. I think it's important that we have a definite time and a definite place. You say, Pastor, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I hear people say that all the time. Oh, I pray all the time. And I agree, and I think that's the relationship. But there should definitely be a time in our life that is a definite season of prayer. That every single day there should be a time and a place where we pray. Because I really, truly, and I'm not picking on anyone, but if someone does not have a specific time and place for prayer, I really doubt that they're praying all throughout the day. And they're praying everywhere, and they're praying through every situation. I've had unsaved people tell me, oh, I talk to God all the time, all throughout the day, but they never open the Bible. They don't know the importance of prayer. They've never been taught what prayer is. So for us to understand as the believers, that time and that place is important. I believe Jesus was a person of prayer, and Jesus didn't go always to the same spot. I tell the people that I go through discipleship as we go through the prayer times of the prayer lesson, I normally say something like this: my times are different on the days. And then you say, well, you got to have the exact same time. Well, no, some days in the week, I get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, not most days. Usually just especially one day, but some other times it's a little bit earlier. And different times I get up, like on Monday being my day off, normally what we call my day off, but sometimes I get involved because church is part of our lives. Church is part of all your lives. Your day off's today. Where are you at? You're at church. But Monday's the day. So Monday, if it works out, I try to sleep till like 8 o'clock in the morning. But there is a certain time after I get up, take care of a couple of things. That's usually when I start reading my Bible and praying. So there's something that's specific there. There's a specific time period. So I'm not saying it has to be in this exact location at this exact time every time, but we should have purpose in our heart. We should make an appointment. I want to meet with God today. And as I meet with God, it's going to be 15 minutes after I get up, and it's going to be in a certain location where I can close out distractions and things like that. This auditorium is one of the places where I speak to the Lord. I meet the Lord not when anybody else is here. I spend time in here. I spend time in my back office at times. I spend time at my home. There are different special spots that I try to create a spot where I'm alone with the Lord. I doubt if a person says they pray all the time and everywhere, and they say that I do not have a certain time of day that I spend an extended time in prayer, that they truly are a person of prayer. We think about Jesus is praying. He is continually praying. He's praying for us even now. He makes intercession. He's worthy. He's what our basis of our prayer is. We come to him in Jesus' name. So he says, Lord. So when we think about this, the disciples are not going to an individual, not reading a book. They're saying, Lord, teach. What's the next thing? What does the word teach mean? It means instruct us. If you look here, look what it says here in verse number 2. He said, when ye pray, our Father. And he said unto him, verse number 2. Verse number 5, he said unto them. You go down to verse number 8. He says, I say unto you. Verse number 9, I say unto you. What does that mean? It means that there is a conversation that he's saying, I want you to teach me how to pray. So he goes and he begins to have a conversation with them. He has done it. They've watched him in verse number 1. They know there's something different about his prayer life than their prayer life. He is asking a number of months, over a year from when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount now to Luke chapter number 11. They're more distinguished in their ministry. They've gone and they've done healings and things like that. And they still see something different in Jesus's prayer life than their own prayer life. And he looks at them and says, teach me something that I do not know about my prayer life. I don't know about you, I've sat with people and maybe one-on-one with prayer, and sometimes after hearing them pray, you realize that they got a hold of God. You've heard them. They were sincere. It wasn't the first time they've ever done it. And you know that they spent time and they didn't care that you were there with them praying. They were just on praying ground, as the old timers used to say. And they respond to his voice. They're interested in learning. When you pray, and like I said, the word of God is like a prayer book. You can go through and you can learn things. But once again, it shouldn't be repetitive. Lord, teach. And the next one is us, a willing individual. Now, here's the next thing. Are you a willing individual? Some people have been doing the same routine in their prayer lives day after day after day for so long, they don't really communicate with God. We looked at that on Wednesday night about the Pharisee standing up in the temple and praying with himself. And that is a challenge. The question is, are we willing to learn? Are we willing to let the Lord instruct us? I've learned early in my ministry and continue to learn day by day, you are not going to teach some people that do not want to learn. There are certain things, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you show them from the Bible, no matter if you do it with emphasis, with compassion, there are some things, if they do not want to learn, they're just not going to learn. And that's something that God has to do. And once again, you leave it up to the Lord. But the question when it comes to this prayer is, are you willing to let the Lord teach you? As we look at these verses, we're entering into the Christ classroom that teach us to pray. So my desire is that this week, specifically today, that we be saying in the heart, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I want to know more. And they acknowledged they did not know everything. They humbled themselves. They learned. They said, I want to learn. There is something more I can learn from prayer. Lord, I'm not just going to look at this as another day, another lesson, another message, a whole day. I'm just not going to say, well, it's about prayer. I don't need any help there. Would you humble yourselves? Would you say unto the Lord, I don't know everything there is about prayer. I don't know everything there is that when it comes about prayer. And people, they go through the emotions, and sometimes it even sounds really pretty. But the question is, did you really commune with God like you're supposed to? And sometimes people get up and they sound so eloquent and sound nice and sound so beautiful. And people will praise them for how great they sound in their prayer. But when we talk to God, we're supposed to commune to God. We're not supposed to be lifting and bragging about others. We want to get a hold of God. Lord, teach me to pray. The evidence who is willing to learn is the evidence by those who are willing to obey. Some people can talk about prayer forever, but they don't pray at all. Some people can wax eloquent about it, but they say everything the Bible has to say about it, but they don't apply it. When it comes to our prayer life, Lord, teach us to pray. I never noticed this before, but this week is studying it. If you look in Luke chapter number 10 at the end of the story, at the last story, and it talks about the story of Mary and Martha. And he goes into this. Now, I know it says, and it came to pass. So there was probably some period of time, but I think it's interesting how the Bible is laid out that it talks about Martha there. Martha's there and she's cumbered about. It says in verse number 38, and now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You say, well, what does that have to do with the message? Well, you think about it. Isn't that usually what our prayers are like? God, I got a problem with somebody. I want you to fix them. And that's what Martha does. Lord, don't you care? Of course he cares. It's a dumb question. But Lord, don't you see what's going on? Lord, this is my prayer. She is speaking to Jesus, asking Jesus as an authority. I want you to tell Mary to do something. And that's what many times our prayer is. This person's got a problem, and Lord, I want you to fix their problem. I want you to make my life easier by fixing their problem. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is us communing with God. Prayer is God showing and teaching us. Do we pray for others? Of course, if someone's in sin or someone that you're struggling with, we pray with them and we pray for them. We learn in our own self, how is it that we can change and what is we can do to be God to work through us as a conduit to be able to reach them and to help them. But so often it's, Lord, I want you to fix my husband. I want you to fix my wife. I want you to fix my mom, my dad, this person that I have bitterness against and this and that, but that prayer is not what Martha is there. And what does Jesus say to her? He says about Mary, what does he say about Mary? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He says, look, Mary's getting it. She's communing with me. She's learning from me. She's sitting at my feet. You're missing the whole point of it. And your prayer life changes when you miss the whole point. The things that you pray for are not the things that God is most interested in you. He said that one thing that's needful. So I want to encourage you in your prayer life, choose what is God's part for you, not something that can be taken away. Martha was still frustrated, even though she did not get the answer to prayer. And sometimes we get frustrated because we're not getting our will done up in heaven. But the whole point is for God to get his will done on earth through our prayer lives. I think it changes the way we pray. D.L. Moody said, every great moving of God has been traced to a kneeling figure. It can be traced to when someone became serious about prayer. One last thing, and we'll be done for this section. Look what it says in chapter 11, verse number 2. And it's just, when ye pray and say. So here's the thing is, God expects us to pray. He didn't turn around and say, if you pray. When I deal with somebody in discipleship class, I use that word if. I do it often because I know young believers sometimes might struggle with that. When I'm dealing with somebody else who's struggling, if you decide to pray. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus specifically tells his disciples when ye pray. It's a commandment of God. It's something he desires that we do. It's something that's best for us. But that word when is so often, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, and we won't for sake of time, but what did it say in verse number 5? When ye prayest. What did it say a few verses later? When ye prayest. Never was it a possibility that we were not going to pray. And it's something that God desires. There must be a definite season of prayer. Times every day we set times of our life every day to set apart to spend time with God. We need to guard this strongly. The devil will do whatever he can to take this away from us. This time, he does not expect, he does not want us, he does not think that we have to pray. And so I see this and I want to encourage you when you pray. And I know sometimes we get up, I'll pray if I get up in enough time. I'll pray if time allows it. I'll do this if. But God says, Jesus says to his disciples, when? I'll remind you once again, he is speaking to probably the smaller group, the disciples, maybe the 12 only, and he's there. He's already taught a large group of disciples. Remember how they turned the multitudes, and there was a multitudes, and he went and he sat, and these disciples, it was a good group of people in Matthew chapter 6. He's there and he's teaching them. Remember, they want to all learn. They came because they wanted to learn. They weren't going to get fed. They weren't going to see miracles. They were going to sit there and listen to a very long sermon, and that sermon is probably one of the most powerful sermons you ever hear preached. It talks about the heart. It talks about, you know, being humble. It talks about mourning over your sins. And that's just the beginning. It talks about your prayer life. Boy, it puts everything out there. They're there. They learn all that. Year and a half, 2 years later, they're more seasons as ministers. They watch Jesus pray, and they still pray this prayer. Lord, and they come to him. Lord, we've seen something different about you. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does he sit down and teach again? The same thing. You're going to notice in chapter 6, it says amen at the end. Chapter 11 doesn't say amen. There's not a conclusion there. There is further teaching later on. But he does go over the basics again with them. He teaches them the basics. Why? Because we need to be repetitive. We need to be repetitive in our teaching and our learning. We need a fresh perspective on it. The word of God doesn't change. The truths do not change. But how many of us need a fresh perspective sometimes? I need a fresh perspective sometimes. When I come to my prayer life, I don't want it to become ritualistic. I don't want it to become mechanical. I don't want to get up here and say the same thing so that way people can hear and know what I'm praying for. No, I want to get a hold of God and I want to pray to God and I want it to be something that God, whatever it is you want me to do in my life, I want to get your will done in my life. And we're going to see that when it says at the end of verse number 2, thy will be done as in heaven is so in earth. God's will is done perfectly in heaven all the time. And when we personally pray, I want your will to be done here on this earth, the only person we can control that with is yourself. God, I want your will done in my life. So when we pray, we're not trying to get our will done up in heaven. We're trying to get God's will done in this world. And the only person we can make that happen for sure is when we pray it personally. God, I want your will done here in my life. And we allow God to teach us, and we allow God to show us. And we're gonna go through verses 2 and 3 and 4 this morning and look at that. So just as an overview, once again, the prayer and desire is that we would ask the Lord to teach us to pray. Pastor, I've been saved for a long time. I don't need to be taught that. Those disciples went out healing. Those disciples saw all those miracles. Those disciples walked with Jesus, and they saw there was something different. They saw that they were missing something. They saw there was more to Jesus' prayer life, who was the perfect man, the perfect God, and said, Lord, please teach us to pray. So that's let's enter into the Christ classroom today. Let's learn from him and how. And just ask this question once again. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you about prayer. What a privilege, opportunity. Lord, the thing that we probably take for granted so often, the God of the universe gives us access to him. He not only does he give us access, he cares about us. Lord, I pray that we would all pray this prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we want to learn how to commune with you in a way that is effective, in a way that where you will work in our hearts and lives. Lord, that you would clear out the things that has broken up the communication lines, or if there's sin, whatever it is, that we've gone mechanical, that we haven't got a hold of you in a while. Lord, that you would just give us a desire, just the start. Lord, I want to do better in my prayer life. Lord, teach me what you want me to know. It's not about what Pastor Pease teaches today. It's not about him changing my prayer life, Lord. It's about your word. And Lord, use the word of God. Use the pastor as he preaches today to show me the areas of my prayer life that I could grow in. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would teach us to pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.